when we you can stand. When I just want you to engage. You know, not switch off and start thinking, oh, it's going to be lunch soon. It will be lunch, but don't think about it yet. Only because I want you to engage with the spirit of what is being said. You see, the thing is that what I am not willing to confront, God cannot heal. What I am not willing to confront, if I've got things in my life that I'm like, no, don't touch, guess what happens to those things? They stay the same. So if we want to be a bit spiritual, you know, we can use a bit of the word, maybe to my, not to, is to say that unless say what? A kernel of wheat falls to the ground, what happens to it? Well, unless it, if it doesn't do that, nothing happens to it. So that means that it's telling us that there's a process that needs to be followed if we want to see things happen in our lives. And that's the thing, is that we've got to let go of certain things. If I want something new, I have to let go of something what? Old. This is the way, this is the process that the Lord teaches us. So I want you to engage this morning with the word, with the spirit behind it, and we will allow the Lord to do his work. So towards the end, we're going to get the worship team to get up, and we're going to do some ministering. This is not the time to be, you know, rushing for lunch. Although it's a good thing, we want to actually minister and do the work that God wants to do in this place today. Amen? So we'll get the worship team, and we're going to sing that song, number 4, You Are Worthy. You know, we're just going to keep going back on the You Are Worthy bit. And why are we doing that? We're trying to engage with the Spirit of God so that it can bring deliverance in people's lives. Amen? All right, so one more time, please put your hands together for Ms. Unami.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. How are you all going? Good, it's good to see you. So I'm Pastor Nami, for all the new people that I haven't met. And, you know, I just wanted to just say this one thing. God really cares about you. And when I say you, I mean you right there, where you're sitting. Not the person next to you. You specifically. When we were at the Fremantle location, something really powerful was said to me, and I just wanted to share it. Someone gave their lives today, and the reason they gave their lives, they knew in church, the reason they gave their lives is because of one thing that I said in my message. But that one thing that I said in my message, which I won't tell you what it was, but that one thing is the one thing when I was preparing the message, I wanted to remove it from the message. And the Lord said, no, you have to leave it in there. And I'm thinking, why? And of course, she said, when you said this one thing. So God cares about you as an individual. He cares about the things that you care about. He cares about where you are at in your life. It's not always about other people. It's not always about people in the community or serving other people. It's also about you. So I just needed you to know that. So, as you all know, it's Christmas time, and it's such an exciting time for most people. Lots of food, beautiful stuff here. Thank you to everybody who did this. People are just really creative. And so thank you for that. So it's times for this, and, you know, lots of food, you know, going out to different places, different meals. It's really, excuse me. Oh, sure. Excuse.
Like I said, I told them that it was on the way. It's arrived. So Jeff and Tammy, can you come up here? face the crowd. Thank you. So we just want to, one more time, we did it, but now I want to, at least I've got what I said in hand, really acknowledge. And I think what I want to say is that, I mean, I was surprised when I saw that line. Eh? Like, I was very, very surprised. Like, I thought it would be, you know, 30, 20 people. But to sort of like see that, man, number one, it tells us possibly the need that's in our community. But also that the fact that people actually care for the community is a good thing, you know. And so here I want to acknowledge Pastor Helen and Pastor Charlie. They are the ones that lead Port Care. So put your hands together for them. And it's very important that we don't forget. It's very easy for us to live our lives and do our own thing and forget people that are marginalized in our community. And it's good that, you know, we have a heart that thinks about the community. And so we want to thank Jeff again and Tammy that, you know, you lead the effort of Port Care here in Kwinana. And you know that it's really when we do these things, you are doing them unto Christ. And so sometimes when maybe you may not feel like you see the results, there are certain things that I think we need to agree that we will never see the full impact of these things in this lifetime. But somebody, it's not really about what happens here. It's also about how you make people feel. That's very important. That in that moment when people receive those gifts, they are thankful to somebody, that at least somebody thought about them. And so we want to acknowledge you for your leadership. You may not think it's leadership, but it is leadership that you are able to lead something like that. So thank you and God bless you. Please put your hands together for them one more time. Tammy, Jeff, well done. And we'll start again. Eh? I apologize.
As I was saying. No, it's great. Thank you to the team, Jeff and Tammy, and Pastor Helen and Pastor Charlie. Thank you for what you do. So yes, Christmas is an exciting time. There's lots of food and, you know, lots of laughter, excitement all around. And one of the things that I like to do is to, you know, go around and look at everybody's decorations, the lights and all of that, you know, with my kids. And yeah, hope not to have to explain to my kids why our house doesn't look like all those houses. Yeah, so joke that I threw in there. But it's true. Having said that, the reality is that even in this season filled with so much excitement and brightness, there's many of us who are dealing with other things, dealing with anxieties, feeling overwhelmed, fearful, confused, you name it, because of the season of life that we're going through personally. So sometimes there's a mismatch between what's going on with everybody else and what's going on in your own life. And I just wanted to, having said that, just really acknowledge what has happened in Australia this past week. We know that a lot of things happen in the country, but what happened in Bondi this week is quite a significant thing in the history of this country. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that and just really take time to pray for the families, for the community there, because, you know, while we're celebrating, people are preparing funerals. So it's a very difficult time. So please join me as I pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to just come together as the body of Christ, to just acknowledge, Father, just the heartache that's happened in the Bondi community. We just pray for all those families and friends that have lost loved ones. Father, some things we'll never understand, people's intentions, but we know that what is happening is a tactic of the enemy. It's not right. It's pure evil, Father. Lives have been taken, destroyed, and as we celebrate Christmas, I pray, Father, that your hand be upon those families as they prepare for funerals, as they go into a space of grief for however long we'll never know. So, Lord, I just pray for your peace that surpasses all understanding. I just pray even for everyone else in this room right now who is grieving, who has lost a loved one, Lord, who's having to experience Christmas without their loved one, no matter when it is they lost them. We just pray for your peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So some of us are carrying pressures around, you know, experiencing health issues. Relationships are falling apart. You're confused about the future. What am I going to do in 2026? Financial challenges, you can't make ends meet. You know, we all have different things that we're going through, and it's pressure. And in a world that feels more and more unpredictable, more and more unsafe, and no sense of control, the question I want to pose to us this morning is, where should we be looking for counsel? And what are some of those challenges we face in actually accessing that counsel? So if you're taking notes, the title, oh, it's already up there, Wonderful Counselor. You know, counseling is, in the traditional sense, involves, you know, someone comes in and they walk into the room, you know, they sit in the space with the counselor who then listens and tries to work out what the issue is that they're bringing. You know, they're there to offer a safe space, you know, to hear you, to provide emotional and psychological support, to work on some goals, right? If you've experienced counseling or you've counseled someone, you know what I'm talking about. So one of the most privileged, and I call it privilege because it is, hats that I wear, is that of being in that counselor space, counselor role. You know, offering therapy to individuals, couples, and families. And I've been doing that for over 20 years, and I've come across all sorts of situations, burdens that people carry, you know. For some, it's over decades that they carry those burdens, and it goes from one Christmas to another. Each Christmas, you would know even for yourself, each Christmas is different. This Christmas, you might be in a place of celebration, and next Christmas, you're in a place of grief. It's always different. And I have to say that and acknowledge that even with all that experience, you do sometimes come to a situation where things are above, they are above your head. Situations that I don't know how to deal with, situations I haven't come across everything. You know, someone I can't help, someone who goes ahead and, just checking these kids, someone who just goes ahead and you know, does something with their life that you weren't anticipating, couples therapy that ends in divorce, you know, ending up in family court, you know, you start off, look, things look like they're looking good, but by the end of it, everybody's tearing each other apart. And then you have those people who just completely disengage from that therapeutic space, and you never ever see them again. And for the counselor, there is often mixed emotions about that. Because on the one hand, you are sure that you did everything that you possibly could to deal with that situation or to support that person. But then you have another part of you with a lot of questions, wondering, could I have done things differently? Could I have done more? What did I miss? And of course, each person deals with their feelings, their uncertainty, their vulnerabilities differently, you know? And although it's not a bad thing to ask questions, it can be if when you're asking yourself those questions, and I'm talking as the counselor, you end up in that place of feeling guilty or feeling shame or beating yourself up, then it becomes a bad thing. And it's in those moments that people tend to look for answers in all the wrong places. I don't know about you, but you know, people tend to look for answers in substance because they're self-medicating. Some people bury their heads in their work, overworking. Others get moody, they're irritable, angry at everyone around them because they don't know what to do with the feelings that they're experiencing. And others tend to food, which is the category that I belong to, you know, going for the crunchy chips, you know. And the more stressed I am, the crunchier the chips have to be. And in those moments, I know I have needed not only the mighty God, you know, our God is mighty, to intervene. Not only have I needed that everlasting Father who comforts me, or even that Prince of Peace that we talk about, that peace that surpasses all understanding. But in those moments, I've needed that wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 to 7. I'm just going to read that from the NIV. And it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." If you've read the story of Gideon and the Midianites, you will know that the Midianites were terrorizing the children of Israel. So it says, "You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire." It's saying that everywhere where there was a fight, where there was a battle, we're throwing away all those things. Garments rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Why? "Because for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." What does it mean that he is our Wonderful Counselor? We may know what a counselor is, but what is that Wonderful Counselor in this context? And the word Wonderful in Hebrew is pele, meaning beyond understanding, miraculous, supernatural, awe-inspiring. And the word counselor refers obviously to someone who guides, someone who stands beside you, someone who gives guidance, wisdom, truth. The counsel that comes from God is different from the counsel that comes from someone like me, a human being. It involves supernatural insight, supernatural wisdom, solutions that are above human understanding and reasoning. Why is it important that I explain this? Because you need to know why we're even talking about Wonderful Counselor. Why is it important? It's important to highlight what the difference is, because when you know what the difference is between the human counselor and that Wonderful Counselor, then there is something to hold on to. There is something above you. You see, when we know that there is someone or something that is above us, above our knowledge, above our wisdom, then we have that hope. So where should we be looking to unload our burdens this Christmas? And of course, it's to our Wonderful Counselor. I want to read from 1 Peter 5, verse 7, still from the NIV. It says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." We're hearing before about casting crowns. I hope I'm not mixing up the services, but one of the songs was talking about casting crowns. Casting is about throwing something forcefully. And it says all, not just some of your anxiety. It says cast all, the whole quantity of it. Your anxiety, right? The things you're worried about, the things that keep you awake at night, the things that make you wake up early in the morning, the things that make you want to hustle all day. Your stresses. It says, cast all of those on him. Him who, the Wonderful Counselor, he is ready to receive them because he cares for you. Meaning he has concern. You're not just doing it and hoping that he helps. You're doing it with the knowledge and understanding that he actually cares. He actually cares. Just like I said before, God cares about you specifically. As an individual, not just the person sitting next to you. So what the scripture is saying, forcefully throw the whole weight of your worries. Forcefully throw the whole weight of your concerns, your stresses, your burdens. Forcefully throw those things on the wonderful counselor. I was going to demonstrate, but I couldn't think of what I could throw in here. And, you know, we have to be safe. But just imagine forcefully throwing something. And that's what it's saying we should do with our anxieties. So we know what to do or where to go for counsel. But we still have challenges in seeking and receiving from that wonderful counselor. A lot of us have the head knowledge, and we may even understand things spiritually. But when it comes to taking that action, there's barriers. We're not able to actually take action or respond to what the Lord is saying. The thing, though, is I cannot benefit from a gift that I do not receive. Just because something has been given, it doesn't mean I have received it. Those are two different things. Giving and receiving are not the same thing. You cannot receive counsel from one you're not willing to receive counsel from. And to us, a child is given, but we must receive him. I'm often fascinated by some sayings that go around, and, you know, sometimes they seem to work or make sense, but for the most part, I don't think that they're true. And I want to focus on two in particular. The first saying is this: no pain, no gain. And you hear that usually around the physical health space, you know, then go to the gym, you've got to feel the pain. You know, there might be some truth to that. But some people believe that the pain they're experiencing in their lives is because God wants them to feel pain. God wants them to be punished. God wants to teach them a lesson. And that God cannot just forgive them. You know, sometimes we're so proudful. We're like, oh God, no, not me. My sin is too much for you. God cannot forgive me. We have this belief that without some type of suffering or pain, we cannot receive from God. Your pain is not a sign of punishment or training to gain acceptance from God. Because there is absolutely nothing that we can do to cleanse ourselves from our sin. Nothing, because forgiveness at the end of the day is a gift. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is this: if I knew that God does not care to cause me pain or suffering or any type of punishment for what I think I have done to him or done in life, how would that change how I approach him? Food for thought. The second saying that I find fascinating is this one: one size fits all. You heard that one, right? One size fits all. I see it in certain clothes, certain dresses and socks. One size fits all. And sometimes we can adopt that attitude with how we approach God or how we view the things of God. Some people have tried one way to connect with God because they believe that one size fits all. They've tried one church, and because that one way did not work that one time, that one message did not sit well with them, or that experience didn't work for them, they've decided it does not work. It's like that black and white thinking. But the truth is, we are unique individuals with unique experiences, unique expectations, unique needs. So I say that one size does not fit all. We were never meant to wear the same piece of clothing. You must only wear what was tailor-made for you. And that can mean so many different things to different people. So the question we have to ask is this: if you knew that God wanted you to come to him without trying to be someone else, without trying to fit into someone else's mold of how a relationship with God should look like, without comparing yourself or judging yourself, would that change how you approach God? Whatever you need the wonderful counselor for this morning, you don't need to experience pain or suffering, and you don't need to fit into a specific mold to experience him. It is when we unload or offload to him that we can restore hope. We all need hope. That's what the whole Christmas message is. It's about hope. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. If you've ever prayed for something and not gotten an answer, you know what hope deferred is. That prolonged waiting can lead to discouragement, grief, weariness, loss of motivation. Even this morning, I'll dare to suggest that you're just some people, there's some people who are just here and just sitting there and just hoping that, you know, they'll catch something. You came here hoping you just catch something, but you are discouraged. You are grieving. You are weary. But you came anyway. Because somewhere there is a bit of hope. Somewhere you believe there is something that might come out of you being here. But that scripture goes on to say that longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When God answers your prayer, sometimes differently or even later than expected, quite often later than you expected, it restores something. Hope is restored. Vitality is restored. Joy is restored. Renewed strength. Life is injected back into your situation, and that's what we want. Verse 2 of Isaiah 7 says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And here we have been offered a solution. There is hope in the person of Jesus Christ. We see a promise of a shift from a place of darkness. The important question is this: have you seen the great light? It talks about joy, that joy is increased. Because when light comes and is received, burdens are shattered. Oppression is broken. People no longer have to war or fight their own battles. Some of us are still fighting our own battles. And how do you know that you're fighting your own battles? Because you're working extra hard and there's no peace. Because you're moving from one place to the other end. You're trying to find an answer and you've been trying the same thing, different things, but you haven't stopped long enough to seek the Lord. The counsel of the Lord is indeed wonderful. In being the wonderful counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ counsels us in many different ways. He counsels us through his presence, where he gives us peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. When his presence fills a room, the anxiety loses power. If you're struggling with anxiety, try sit in a room filled with his presence. Sit in the presence of the Lord. When he draws close, confusion begins to lift. If you are confused, sit in the presence of the Lord. He counsels us through his word. One word from the Lord can get rid of uncertainty that's been there for a very long time. His word is light to our path. His truth cuts through the lies, but you have to access his word. He counsels us through that Holy Spirit that is called the Counselor. He guides our thoughts. He guides and he whispers direction. If you're looking for direction, sit in the presence of the Lord. He corrects us gently. He's not harsh. He counsels us through the people he brings in our lives. God places people in your life. He places people in your life. And the thing is, God is not always going to place people in your life that like you or that you like. There's some people that God has placed in your life that will drive you up the wall. It's not the devil. It's not always the devil. Because God is about building our character as his children. God places leaders, friends, family, mentors, connect group people around you. If you're living isolated, that's a problem. That's something that needs to be changed. To restore hope into the work that I was doing, in those moments where my mind felt like it was spiraling, where I was asking myself, what could I have done? In those moments, I needed a burden lifted. And the only way to do that is to go back to him. Because that's when you get perspective. The Lord gives us perspective. You have to stop and seek the wonderful counselor. You have to call him by name. It says he shall be called wonderful counselor. And he will be called wonderful counselor by you and I when we recognize that that is his name, that is part of his role. I want to finish off by speaking about survivor guilt, because that's something that the Lord just placed in my heart. Survivor guilt, if you don't know what it is, it's kind of like that intense emotional reaction or distress or remorse, self-blame that someone experiences because they survived. They survived something traumatic and somebody else didn't survive. While others suffered, you didn't. And it can really cause a lot of psychological distress. You may be sitting here and thinking, well, I don't necessarily have survivor guilt. Nobody has gone, you know, I'm not dealing with that. But survivor guilt shows up in different ways. It may not be as obvious as I've said it. It may show up as, you know, you feeling like you were spared suffering because your parents stayed together while your friends' parents separated. You didn't get a chronic illness while others experienced that and their health deteriorated. You made it in the world of business, in the world of finance. You were what they call successful, and your loved ones continue to struggle. What I want to highlight is that survivor guilt, like many things, is a tactic of the enemy to steal and destroy what the Lord wants to bring into your life, to steal your joy and your peace. And the problem with survivor guilt is that it can lead you to minimize or downplay your achievements in life, but most crucially, it can cause you to minimize what God is doing in your life, what God wants to do through your life. You know, the Bible talks about how we have all been given gifts, and that those gifts have been given to serve others. And we know that everything that God does is about, or the way he uses us is for his name to be glorified. But sometimes we minimize the gifts. We don't use our gifts because we don't want to show up that way. Because we don't want to be seen a certain way. We don't want to be perceived a certain way. And the thing is, God does not get glorified through your life because you're playing small with your life. It can lead to people pleasing. It can lead to rescuing people. Difficulty enjoying abundance. God blesses you and you have a thought that I should go and just share the goodness of the Lord. And then you have another thought that says, no, don't do that. Don't do that because you look like you're a show-off. You look like you're prideful. Those are the thoughts that come in. God doesn't get glorified in that moment. When the Lord tries to speak to you about joy and about peace, about healing, as long as you feel like others are still suffering, your brain will resist that. But it says, unto us a child is born. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You know, I want to go to science a little bit. We all have a nervous system, and we have a certain way that our brain works. And our brain will always work to protect us, to bring us to a place of survival. So it doesn't matter how much on the outside you might want to do something, you might want to show up. Your nervous system will always kick in to make you feel safe, to survive. So if your brain perceives that you are in danger, if your brain perceives that the environment that you're in is not safe, the people that are around you are not safe, then it will shut everything down. If I am someone that the Lord has called to speak in front of a crowd of people, and I go to stand in front of people, for as long as I don't feel safe in that environment, my brain will shut down and I will retreat. I did that many, many years, sitting back, standing back, not speaking. Even though on the one hand, I felt the Lord was saying, speak. But then my nervous system would say, shut down, let's survive. And there are many people in this room where your brain is in that space of survival. Your brain is in that space of avoidance. Avoiding stepping into what God has called you to. Avoiding sharing the gospel. Avoiding praying for people. Avoiding doing the things that you believe God has called you to. But the Bible says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is given. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor. When it says unto us, it means it's for you. It's for me. It's not for over there. It's not for down there, for up there. Unto us. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is in the business of giving, but we're not very good at receiving. So I'll get you to just stand up this morning. It's now afternoon. I just want to pray for two groups of people. First, we're just going to go through and pray for people who haven't made that decision to know Jesus Christ as that light, as that wonderful counselor. And then I want to pray for the survival guilt thing. People who are not stepping into what God has called them to. Let us pray. If you could just repeat after me this first prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to the cross. I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and be my wonderful counselor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Still with your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or just a rededication, if you could raise your hand so I can see you, so we can give you some material. Okay, no one. All right, I'm just going to pray for the second group of people. I'm not going to call you to the front, but as you're standing where you're standing, I just want to pray for people who have survivor guilt, people who are sitting on their gifts. You're stagnant, you're frozen, you are not moving. And because you're not moving, you are in a place of tension. The tension that goes on is overwhelming because it's a tension between what you believe the Lord is saying to you and what your brain is saying to you. So Heavenly Father, I just pray for those who are dealing with survivor guilt. Those who feel like they can't make a move, they can't take a step forward, they can't expand, they can't grow, they can't be fruitful and multiply because others are still suffering. But in that, Lord, you are not being glorified. And so I pray for everyone who finds themselves in that space, that you would set them free, that that light would shine, that that joy would expand, would rise up, that they would freely be their authentic self and step into everything that you have called them to, that they would speak the words that you have given them, that they would pray the prayers that you've encouraged them to pray, that they would start the businesses that you want them to start, that they would hold the conversations, that they would do the thing that you have called them to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's raise our hands to the Lord this morning before we finish. Singing, so I'm just going to get, if you need prayer, please come to the front. I'll pray for you. I'll get Kyle and his wife Raquel come to the front as well, and of course my sister right at the back. Oh, you know, yes, you, yeah, please. Whilst we still keep singing, please, if you have to leave, can I just pray a blessing if you've got to go? Father, I thank you, Lord God, for everybody in this place. I thank you, Lord God, for the families that are represented here. God, I pray, Father, that your spirit would be with your people, as it always is. But Father, this Christmas would be like no other. I pray the peace of God over all these families in Jesus' mighty name. I pray your peace, Lord God, that surpasses all understanding. I pray that you would watch over them and that you would protect them. May they know, Lord God. May they know you, Lord God, and they trust you because of your character, that you can be trusted. Bless them and their families. Protect them, Father. Let it be a time, let it be a Christmas different from any other. I just sense this to pray a blessing of peace over your families and the protection of God as you leave this place, as you drive. And of course, let's be mindful, we're not only super spiritual. Double demerit points have started, you know, so you'll get fined. So Father, I just thank you that you continue to love your people, that they would continue to experience your love and know, Lord God, that you love them and care for them. Bless them all in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. If you need prayer,